Yeah. So, look, welcome back to the City of Greater Geraldton podcast. This is Mayor Shane Van Stein giving you an update on what council's been up to and what we've got achieved. But you know, as we draw to an end this year, approaching the end, thought I'd give an update on everything that we've had going on in the city. Look, the biggest one at start the rank is Beresford Foreshore. Certainly one of our biggest and most loved projects, which has seen a transformation of the Beresford Foreshore. And it's taken nearly 2 years to complete that, and there was two elements. There was the coastal protection works. In essence, they're the rocks down on the waterline that stop the road being at risk and the houses being at risk of erosion, and all that important state infrastructure that lies underneath Chapman Road. And then, of course, the amenity. And look, what a fantastic outcome that's been. Those bright yellow shade structures and the barbecues and the nature playground, all well occupied by people every day, and looking after school and on weekends. It's just an absolute hive of activity. And look, it's been made all the much better with some 140,000 plantings down there, and we're seeing them really take off, except where a few rabbits sort of got into it a little bit, and a kangaroo I might add during construction as well ate some of our plants. But look, it's coming along fantastic, and it's a great asset to the city. And look, at the November council meeting, council resolved to allow a food outlet down there at Medallia Beach. You'll be able to soon be able to enjoy German sausages and Belgian waffles and salads and all those sorts of things, as well as a small little coffee van set up. Think of a Volkswagen Combi down there at Dean Street. So, you know, really finishing off the foreshore, making it a great place to hang out. Over in Mahomet's, Olive Street, the World War One Memorial, probably the city's longest standing legacy project. Some 60 years people have been talking about the Leonard T. Green Memorial, where it'll be, where it should be, creating a reserve. And look, down there in Mahomet's, that was an old disused rubbish tip site, derelict, full of rats and snakes and the like. And we've renewed it. We've turned it into a wonderful parkland. Still waiting on a bit of the grass to grow. We've had a bit of an issue with grass taking it, but taking on in some parts. But look, it's all coming along, and I know that will be, and it already is, a fantastic improvement to what was a horrible site out there. And again, it's focusing on that walking and cycling. It's got a walk trail and a cycle trail, and I know every time when I pop down, there's people making the most of that space. And that's really what we've had a big focus on in the city, is creating public open space and fixing up the footpaths and the roads so that people can enjoy the outdoors, enjoy our wonderful weather that's here. And just as an additional benefit, of course, that diverts the stormwater out of the south pipe down there and helping our coastal erosion. So a little bit more to that project, and in time, some 12 blocks will be sold off, and it's reasonable to expect we'd probably recoup all our costs on that. We've got the AL Grant Underground Power Project completed. That will see all the power lines along Chapman Road and Durlacker Street getting taken down and removed and undergrounded, and a long-term project there that people used to always crash into those poles and complain, say, what are we doing about it? We got that done, and early in the January 2019, we're going to start seeing resealing works of Durlacker Street. We often hear from ratepayers that it's a goat track, it's a third world track. Having been to the third world all that recently, I think that's probably a little bit of overreach, but nonetheless, it's a road that needs resealing, and we would have got to that a little earlier had it not been for the fact that there's a significant leak in one of the water mains down near the IGA store. So we'll be waiting for the Water Corp to complete those repair works before we then go down and lay down a nice new smooth Durlacker Street for everyone. And that's just a great combination of getting your planning right. If you get your undergrounding power correct first and you get your footpaths and that correct, you then can do your road levels, you can get on top of all of it. And road renewals is what it's all about. This year, we're in the process of spending more than $4.39 million in external funding on fixing up our rural roads out the back as a result of some of the floodworks and the like. And that's on top of a further $3.62 million that we spend here at the Sea and Road Resurfacing. So look, we'll see around 10 kilometres of road resurfaced and all 100% done entirely by local contractors. Of course, this year, for those who can remember back earlier in the year in April, we had the Wow Fest. More than 10,000 people graced the foreshore for this two-day event, with Veronica's headlining it. And we are well underway in planning next April's Wow Fest. Soon we'll be announcing who the headline acts are, and I'm sure everyone's going to be very excited when we release who they are. And look, we want to make this event a real permanent part of our events calendar. The reason for April is, you know, it balances out the Sunshine Festival and all the like. And look, we think that's just going to be great. We're all about events at the city, and the more that we can attract, the better. And in December, the 2018 Wave Sailing Championships, National Championships, are going to be held right here in Geraldton, and we're very excited to be welcoming them. And of course, we've got Geraldton's own, Jaeger Stone, who's taken on some Geraldton sponsorship and is flying the good colours of Geraldton on his mast right around the world. And being able to see him compete in the home turf will be a big event, bringing people from right around the world to compete in this event, and we're really proud to be doing that. The Point Moore leases are one of the, for a long time, the residents down there. They're heading towards the end of their lease down there at Point Moore. We have 5 or 6 years to go in some instances. We've renewed them out for the full 21 years and gave them some comfort when it comes to things like coastal inundation erosion. And look, and that process was another long drawn out process and a lot of community consultation. We're happy to provide certainty to the good folk down there at Point Moore. We looked at ourselves as well this year, and we're currently waiting on the Minister to approve it. We're talking about reducing a number of councillors down from 14 to 12, retaining a popularly elected mayor, but also looking at abolishing wards. It's under the current government's arrangement, and indeed it's been some time, a one vote, one value. And we have a ward, for example, out of Mullewa that has 338 electors, and yet you have a ward in Tarcoola that has 5,500 electors. It's not fair to say that one person's vote is worth more than someone else's. So when looking at one vote, one value, it was about how you can make those wards equal. It was determined that no matter what you do, particularly when it comes to rural wards, moving them and trying to either throw in a Utacara or a Strathalbyn or a Deepdale to really get those numbers up, because you need about 2,500 people in a ward under 12 councillors, just couldn't be done. So collectively, our councillors decided to abolish wards. And look, we'll await the decision of the minister, and we're expecting to hear that decision probably around February, I would think, in 2019. But look, getting back to some more of the contentious items, if you will, or something that's hot off the press at the moment, is the trading hours. Council has endorsed the continuation of the extended general retail trading hours in Geraldton. Again, 63% of the community supported it. The Chamber of Commerce's survey had 68% of businesses supporting it. We've had lots of community workshops on the Growing Greater Geraldton plan that kept identifying trading hours reform. It's great to see a lot of the opponents to trading hours reform have at least softened their approach somewhat to the seven-day trading and have conceded some ground. But look, the minister has approved the trading hours being gazetted, the same as Aaron Perth, although he has put his gazette of those hours on hold, and I'm hoping that we'll have in due course some clarity around that. But we're expecting to see trading hours continued as they have been, and that is the same trading hours as Perth. When we're looking at other projects as well around the place, we've added another 1.77 kilometres to our Geraldton's footpath network. We spent about $500,000 on new footpaths and going right around it. I know the works that we're saying, that I've mentioned too, Durlacker Street, we'll see the footpaths improved along Durlacker Street. We've also seen the intersection of Phelps and Chapman Road being renewed, and that's indicative of long-term legacy infrastructure crumbling that needs fixing, and we're doing a lot about that. But an exciting project, I don't know, we're doing a bit of landscaping there out at the moment. It's down at the Chapman River Trails. We opened up a big mountain bike trap and loop in the Chapman River Regional Park. Look, and that's been very well received, and it's very popular with the kids and the 11-kilometre long loop trail and the pump and jump track and all down there. And look, when I go down there, one thing that I take out of this is I see the older kids looking after the smaller and the younger kids. They're teaching them a few tricks. If someone comes a cropper, I only too often see the younger kids getting looked after by older kids. It's fantastic to see. We need to see more of that in our community, and I think it's been a real success when I look at how that brings a community together. And as I'm rattling off all these projects, it's important to understand that we've actually done this while balancing the budget. A few years ago, $9 million deficits, and this year, breaking even, and did the last couple of years. So it's a fantastic effort to do this. But it's not all about building stuff. It's not all about balancing budgets. Cruise ships. We are here in December. We're going to see the first overnighted cruise ship staying overnight at the port. And they really are talking to us about how they can do trips out to the Ross Islands, whether they do expedition cruises and the like. And this is a big project that we need to work with the state government, the opening up of the Abrolhos Islands. That's going to be a key focus of 2019. Right now, at this particular point in time, at the December council meeting, we'll be talking about what we think can be done, of the state government's position on creating a national park out there at the Abrolhos Islands as part of having tourism opened up out there. And this is a fantastic new initiative. We think this is a game changer for tourism in Geraldton. It's all about diversity of attraction, but it's also about access to things. So opening them up to islands and potentially, you know, fast ferry services and the like getting out there, as well as our wonderful aviation businesses, really getting that Abros Islands hook. We see the Great Barrier Reef brings people to Cairns. And look, Cairns is a wonderful place, don't get me wrong, but it has, you know, you can't swim in the beaches because of the crocs and the stingers, and it has cyclones and floods and everything in between. But the Great Barrier Reef still draws people there in the millions. And we think we can do some of that, and even a little bit like Exmouth Beningaloo. But look, this is all being fed by tourism. And look, the cruise ships play a big part of that. And we're looking forward to increasing the number of cruise ships in coming years. But look, going forward, and what we have underway right at this very moment, the animal management facility out there, we're expecting that to be finished in January. You know, essentially, if you go out to the dog and cat pounds that we have here at the sea at the moment, you'll be welcomed by a donger that's rusty, and you'll be invited to sit down on a milk crate or two and look at where your dog is in some horrible sun-exposed steel cage. It's pretty brutal and pretty horrible conditions out there. And for too long, we've been doing it. And it's not just about protecting animals, and I'm a big avid dog lover, don't you worry about that, but the staff, the conditions of staff have been at work as quite abysmal. So the new management facility is going to be built, and we're looking forward to that coming online in January. And look, that's about a $1.8 million project built entirely by local contractors. Out that way, the airport runway, you know, the current 1980 meter runway is getting resurfaced and rebuilt, so it's up to spec again, but also extended out to 2,400 metres. And in time, that's going to facilitate new air freight export opportunities, and as well as provide an alternative landing site for Perth Airport, which, you know, it means we're playing our part in helping get airfares lower, particularly international airfares, for all of the state. Looking at some massive project, and again, also awarded $23.5 million, awarded to locally based contractors. Out at Maru, we're digging a new cell 5. We need to create a cell that prevents leaching and from contaminated groundwater, and also protects that groundwater and some of the surface water too. And we need to, you know, this will probably future-proof the landfill for only 5 to 7 years. So really got to get cracking on what we're going to be able to do with alternatives to landfill. And that includes recycling and waste-to-energy proposals that are out and about at the moment. But we need to build that cell. And then once again, locally contractors will be building that. But look, one of my favourites, which is underway, we've just gone to here at the end of November, out to our early tender notification, is the CBD Centre Revitalisation, including the Rocks Laneway project. We want to create a town heart, a real town square. You want to know that when you're in the mall, you're in the heart of the city, but also just not be blocked off from the ocean, the foreshore, and not be blocked off from the art gallery. You want to connect them. It's all about creating that east-west connection. And this will see, via Metagraphic and some rejuvenation, a connection from the art gallery down through that park, across the road, through the post office lane, which you know, is quite an eyesore alongside that Telstra building, and getting that all lit up and brightened up and freshened up into the mall where the clock tower currently is and will no longer be after this project. The construction of what we're calling the ghost office, you know, an interpretation of the former post office that stood there up into the late 70s when it was controversially torn down by the council of the day, as a result of nobody wanting to go in the building. I'm sure we would have had trouble finding people for that building today. And look, it's an exciting project that will see us create opportunities for artists in the town to display their wares. And particularly as you move into the Rocks building, we're going to essentially be gutting that building, leaving the roof partially on, allowing some light and sun and plantings, but also some art and people to enjoy. Because one of the things we enjoy is our climate, but it can get hot. And one of the things we want to create in the mall is a cooler place, more green, more shade, more places to get the sun and enjoy your shopping. I think that's a large part of why people go to big shopping malls. They can enjoy the air conditioning and the comforts being able to sit down and like, and that's the sort of feel and vibe that we're going for down there in the city centre. And looking as part of that, at the end of November, Council also adopted its what we call it CBD activation and vibrancy policy. In essence, if you want to use the first couple of metres outside the front of your shop, don't apply to us for an alfresco permit and all the red tape. Just go ahead and do it. Enjoy getting outside. Enjoy using a bit of your footpath and the like. We need to let retailers just get on with the job of retailing. You know, being prescriptive with what hours and being prescriptive where you can put your table or where you can put a couple of chairs, that's just no good for business. And this council is extremely pro-business, and that's why we've seen awarding of businesses down on the foreshore, new businesses. We're seeing restrictions, we're lifting of alfresco restrictions right across our CBD. We're seeing trading hours widened up to allow those that want to open to be open. and all the while focusing on making it a great place to live. Because as I always say, if you can get tourists coming to your town, the way you do that is by making your place look good and having lots of amenity and services on offer. And you know what? If that is how you get your tourists here, the residents get to enjoy that permanently. It's more on offer for our ratepayers and more on offer for our residents. And look, next year, the big one, the Abrolhos Islands, the 400th anniversary of the discovery, if you will, of the Abrolhos Islands, a big event there coming up in July. And we'll be doing all we can as council to ensure that we continue on the path of balance of budget restraint, continue on the path of asset renewal, finish all these projects that we've got going underway, massive amount of projects, and seeing us in a good stead for 2019. So look, thank you all for listening to this podcast, and I hope you found that informative. So, because trust me, this council is doing all it can to really fire up our city and give it the growth that it needs. Thank you.